Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So let's talk about the development of Thimbleweed Park. So on November 18th, 2014, the Kickstarter goes live, and the pitch is basically, imagine opening a drawer, and inside you find a lost LucasArts adventure game from 1987. Of course, this scope eventually expands far beyond this, but if you look at the original Kickstarter video and assets, you can see their original intent was to make it look like an EGA Lucasfilm Games game, not the final product they end up releasing. They wanted to make it a much more old-school experience.
Yeah, the Kickstarter went live on my birthday.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Did Happy... you forget my birthday?
No. I knew your birthday, but I didn't connect the two things in my head. So happy 30th birthday, Nina. Here's the new Ron Gilbert game.
Oh, you're right. You're better at math than I am.
See, I forgot your birthday, but you forgot how old you are. So
I always forget how old I am. Yes. Yeah, my 30th birthday. Oh my God.
What a gift to you and the world.
I know.
Yeah, and if you look, I mean, the original Kickstarter page has all the original assets as to, like, their proof of concept. Like, here's what we want it to look like. Dolores looks different. Ransom looks different. The game is a much lower quality in terms of graphics experience. They really wanted to reach back to the Maniac Mansion days, which is why even in the final form, the characters still look like Maniac Mansion characters with the very big heads in weird proportions. It's because they started with that and they didn't make any changes to the initial designs. They just made them more colorful, more high fidelity.
Yeah, I'm ultimately glad that they went with the more elaborate artwork, but I think I would have been totally fine with this older looking style.
Yeah, towards the end of the game, no spoilers, you get a taste of what the original experience could have been, and it is kind of neat.
Yeah.
But I also like the very lush sprite graphics as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So joining Gilbert in this pitch for Thimbleweed Park is Gary Winnick, who is a lesser-known classic adventure game producer, but still an important one. You'll see his name on Maniac Mansion because he is the co-lead. He is the artist, I believe, the lead artist as well. And this game has a very Maniac Mansion vibe to it. It's interesting in that Ron Gilbert makes Thimbleweed Park, which is a Maniac Mansion spiritual successor in a way, and then he goes on to make a spiritual successor, or direct successor, rather, to Monkey Island. And even though this game is a successor to Maniac Mansion, it still has the Monkey Island ethos of you can't die or screw yourself over in any way. So I don't think Gilbert would ever go back on that, even though Maniac Mansion has those ways to kind of stop your progress in the game.
Yeah, there are even a few LucasArts games where you can reach an end point.
Yeah, A Monkey Island, like Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, you can die in that game. And then obviously Last Crusade, which I did not like playing, and Zack McCracken, which I did not like playing. Those are two in which death is kind of around every corner. And, you know, like all Kickstarter projects, Thimbleweed Park expands far beyond its original scope. It happened to us. It happens to everybody. And because of this, additional talent is brought in, though maybe some of these people were there from the beginning. So other folks that are working on this game are Jen Sandercock. She is a Seattle area game developer, and she's credited with being a producer, writer, and designer on this game. And I believe she wrote the manual for the boxed version. And she's also on Monkey Island, Return to Monkey Island, as a producer.
I'm not totally sure if she wrote the manual. You probably know better than I do. She's super nice, though. She's from Australia. Just recently became an American citizen over the pandemic, actually.
Oh, cool.
Because her partner lives in Seattle, I believe. So she's fully American now. She was our main contact at Fangamer when it came to us doing stuff for this game. And she was very helpful and very enthusiastic about the stuff we made.
And the other person working on this as a designer is David Fox, who goes back to the pre-Ron Gilbert days at Lucasfilm Games. He's the third employee of Lucasfilm. And Zach McCracken is his baby, although we forgive him for that. And that game
Do
is
we?
Not for me. maybe I should not have played it in the second month of the COVID lockdown. That's on me. Maybe I'd enjoy it more today. But it definitely plays by a different set of rules than Monkey Island played by a few years later. It's a very rough game with lots of ways to hurt yourself. Although I did like the beginning of the game. And I remember talking to David Fox at 1UP because I was sent to Classic Games Expo in Las Vegas, and he was giving a presentation on the early years of LucasArts. And I wrote an article about the presentation. And this is at an era in which there were a lot of, I believe, like Chinese spammers leaving tons and tons of comments on every article. And we couldn't like hire anyone to delete them, so we had to do it ourselves. And he was trying to comment on the article, but he couldn't. So,
oh my God.
I apologize, David Fox. We were not given the resources to run a website. That's not on us.
There are a couple of nods to Zach McCracken in this game, right?
Yes, we see the Groucho Marx glasses, which is, I mean, they're just Groucho Marx glasses, but that's a big part of Zach McCracken. And also, we have the chainsaw gas, chainsaw jokes in this, which you can finally use together to have a powered chainsaw in this game.
And you see the poster at one point, the actual Zach McCracken cover art poster.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the game, you see a lot of the posters for the original games. And like we said earlier, this game was intended from the beginning to have a very EGA look to it in terms of the amount of colors available on the screen and resolution. But since the scope expands, that changes, and Mark Ferrari is hired to create the backgrounds. I think he was there from the beginning, but he was the master of these EGA graphics. He is the master of dithering. It's why the original Monkey Island and Loom and Zach McCracken look good despite their lack of colors. He was very good at dithering to kind of simulate more colors on a CRT monitor when they were not actually available via the hardware.
Yeah, the backgrounds are great, and they add a lot to the vibe of the game.
And I think Octavi Navarro is a big part of that. He's a modern sprite artist and used to working in a more modern style. So once it moves on to emulate the style of VGA, they need someone like him on board to do all of the very intensive sprite work to make things look very, very good to a modern eye. And I think this game has some very nice looking sprite art in terms of the backgrounds, the vistas, the characters. I think it's a good looking game even to the modern eye. And there are no familiar LucasArts composers on this project. Gilbert instead gets Steve Kirk to do the music. And they have some crossover in their careers because briefly Gilbert was working at Beep Industries. And Beep Industries, I believe the one console game they produced was Voodoo Vince. And Steve Kirk did the music for this game. And I love the soundtrack for this game, but it is very different than the traditional LucasArts soundtrack in that it's more about setting the mood than trying to play to the actions on the screen.
Yeah, I like the background music too. It's strange because it's kind of, it's mostly ambient. There's not like a super catchy tune in them or anything like that. Yet at the same time, it's been stuck in my head.
Yeah, especially the music you hear on the streets.
Yes.
That's very much stuck in my head, but not in a bad way. No. It's like a very mellow, mellow jam. And I think he really nailed the vibe this game is going for with his soundtrack.
And Fangamer released the vinyl record for this, which I did the artwork for as well. Like the cover art is just like they took the key art I made and like, because I did a very layered file for the key art because it had to be easily convertible to the various resolutions they needed. Like it had to fit like the headers of different things. Anyone who makes social media graphics would know. And so they just rearranged things for the vinyl cover. But I did have to do new artwork for the label on the record itself, for the side A and side B. And I came up with the idea to have a roll of toilet paper on there. So one side is overhand and the other side is underhand, the way you hang the toilet paper.
Okay.
That's a big part, not a big part, but it's kind of like a meta joke in the game itself.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think I've ever seen the back of the record cover. Do you have that?
I do.
Oh, okay. I have to check it out next time I'm there.
Well, do you know the story behind the toilet paper thing?
I know it's in another. Is it in another game, or do you change the toilet paper in this game?
When they released a screenshot showing the bathroom in the game, I think the toilet paper was hanging in one way, and a lot of people.
That's right. Yeah.
A lot of people complained about it. I can't remember which way it was. I think it was underhand, which I hate, by the way. And people were complaining about that, so they put an option, a toggle in the game option to change it to the other way.
You know, my bathroom for the past 9 years has the rare sideways toilet paper dispenser.
Oh yeah.
So that's never an issue, although it's also not good.
Well, when we live together, it has to be overhand.
Absolutely, I will not live any other way. Less toilet paper chat.
Hey, it's a big part of Thimbleweed Park.
It's true. It's actually an essential puzzle item in this game.
Yeah.
We'll get to it though.